A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. I know a man in Christ who, 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up to the third heaven. And I know that this man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things which must not and cannot be put into human language. About this man I will boast, but about myself I will not boast, except about my weaknesses. Although, if I should boast, wish to boast, I would not be foolish, for I would be telling the truth. But I refrain, so that no one may think more of me than what they see in me, or hear from me, because of the abundance of the revelation. Therefore, that I might not become too elated, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan, to beat me, to keep me from being too elated. About this thing, I have pleaded with the Lord 3 times for it to leave me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is at its best in weakness. So I will rather boast most gladly of my weaknesses, in order that the power of Christ may dwell within me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints, for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This part of Paul's letter to the Corinthians over the years has attracted much attention, particularly the part about the thorn in Paul's flesh. Many people have tried to explain or posit an answer as to just what this thorn in the flesh is. And considering all of the trials Paul endured, shipwrecks, imprisonments, and whippings, to name just a few, it's not surprising that he might have a piercing pain that feels like a thorn in his flesh. Yet, whether the thorn is an actual physical pain from the beatings and abuse he experienced, or whether it's something spiritual that has embedded itself deep within his psyche and pierces his flesh, perhaps his heart, we will never know. But it attracts our attention and emotionally draws us closer to Paul, because it's such a personal, tender, humble revelation by a disciple who is usually described so differently. And it's also this expression of pain that comes without choosing that most of us can relate to. A depression that darkens each day, a physical or spiritual limitation that inhibits the work of the Spirit in our lives or in our ministries. The injustices and violence that we have little or no control of in our society and church. The inaccurate criticisms of some of our modern theologians. Or a church that has betrayed our trust. Yes, thorns that pierce our flesh. We know the power of their pain and pain. But we, like Paul, have experienced another kind of power too. We might not express it as Paul does. We probably wouldn't say we were out of our bodies or in a third heaven. But in our weaknesses, we have experienced a power beyond our own strength. When we have felt imprisoned by our own limitations, discouraged by a lack of self-confidence because of unjust criticisms, or when we have lost our identity of who we are or of whose we are, Christ's words encourage us. My grace is sufficient. My power is at its best in weakness. A friend of mine who's 92 years old fell And you know the rest of the sentence. She fell and broke her hip. The fear every older person has. Luckily, she's in great physical condition. Every morning, she religiously exercises for 20 to 25 minutes. But that's not all. She lives a very active life. She brings communion to the sick in the hospital, tutors an eighth grade student in math, and without exception, she prays with scripture and meditates every morning and evening. So even though she has had a serious and complicated break, she got through the operation well and was bold and determined about her daily physical therapy. But on the day she was to be released from the hospital, the doctor surprised her with the fact that he had extended her stay in the hospital to 14 more days. She was so depressed, she broke down and cried and said, "I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this." We talked for a while, and then she said, "Well, I need to be by myself now. I need to take all of this to prayer." That kind of response doesn't come without practice, we know that. It comes from a lifetime of truly believing that when we admit our weakness and turn to Christ, Christ's power is at its best in weakness. And perhaps this is the only way we come to discover the power of Christ. The weakness doesn't disappear. It can still be a thorn in our flesh, but Christ, in unpredictable ways, takes on our weakness and shifts our burden. The weight is shared, a burden is made bearable, a fear is thwarted with new possibilities, a pain is eased by compassion, our doubts are quieted by wise counsel. And we meet Christ once again as if for the first